You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. And we're here with the whole crew.
Here we go.
Those not watching and listening, this is Ben and Sherry back. That's the Ben and Sherry show takeover.
That's right.
It's not taking over when we're here.
Sorry. Ben and Sherry joining.
Are we going to kick them out?
Not yet.
Okay. Behave.
Goodness.
There's a mutiny that's happening.
What is happening?
You give us a little bit, we'll take a bunch.
We just wanted some power.
All right. I'm good now.
You think these people all live together.
It's good to be back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having us.
Maybe you're welcome back.
But we have brought our spouses to work today so we can talk about marriage in our podcast, which is shocking. I know you've never heard us talk about marriage ever before on The Kylo Show, but
here we go again.
Yep.
That's what's going
to
happen.
At the bring your spouse to work day.
Just today. But not every day because they all work here.
Bring your spouse to work
day. But yeah, we have a fun little series that we'll dive into in talking about marriage. It won't just be the four of us the whole time, but we'll probably kick it off and finish it that way. But we thought we'd do it a little bit more uniquely than we've done before when we've talked about marriage with our spouses.
Making a case for marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the goal for this time. But we're going to have the four of us today.
There's nearly 60 years worth of marriage sitting right here at this table.
We're climbing nearly to Social Security, if you look at it that way.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, oh, don't talk about
really
that.
Close. We're starting to get those letters in the mail. You,
AARP.
When you retire, you will get pennies every month.
AARP.
Yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, welcome to that. But we're going to do our series is going to be the four of us. We'll kick it off and then we're going to kind of split up the gang for a little bit. We'll have some discussions where just the fellas are leading the charge.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ladies will take over again. And then we'll have the seasoned marriage.
And the youngins.
And
then
the youngins.
The babies.
So we'll have different discussions, trying to hit different topics, but it should be entertaining with the different flavors of our voices in here and seasons that we're in and what we want to bring. But I think ultimately the goal is to have the conversations of why is marriage so important? Why is it worth the fight? Why is it worth the investment? And that's, I think, a little bit of what today is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And kind of what, why is it, I don't know that it's out of vogue to get married. I mean, that would definitely be what's in your face all day. Just how selfish can you possibly carve out your life? Because it's so incredibly happy there. Mm-hmm. Like you are deluded if you think that your purpose in life is to use it all on yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what's being propagated. That's, the Party Central, jumping around from relationship to relationship, just trashing your soul, just trash your soul and have no self-respect. Like, really? Okay, somebody stop this trash can on fire that's rolling down a hill.
I'm just envisioning all these singles and trash cans.
Well, it's just so, that is the image of happiness out there, is that there's somehow that if you could spend enough money and time and sensuality on you, that it leads to a fulfilled life. And not at all. You were born to love.
Yeah.
You were created to love. You were created to give your life as an investment to generations of lives. I mean, finding purpose in living your life for the benefit of other people, that's where life is, not in limiting your scope to yourself.
Yeah. As you were talking, I was thinking about, I'm going to take a left-hand turn for a minute and then come back around.
Mm-hmm.
But
a U-turn?
A U-turn.
That was a signal. You just used your blinker.
I did. Can you hear it? But Danny, in your consulting business, you have this thing you talk about. Here's the left turn. Stay with me. But you described it like if you had all the money in the world and say that for a minute because I'm mess it up.
If you had $100 million there we go. There's a number in the bank.
Yeah.
What would you do with your time?
Yeah. And, you know, the first thing you said when I first heard you say this was once you've done all the traveling, you've done all the things you want to do, and it comes to the end of that and you're done traveling, now what would you do? And just that picture when you paint it, it makes me think of this same conversation with marriage is, you know, and once you've done all the things that you think you need to do or want to do or that's important to you, that's all about you, when you get to the end of that, are you really fulfilled? Have you really given your life away and put your purpose out there and lived it? And that's kind of the thing I start thinking about is I think there's this purpose inside every person that's mm-hmm. God-given.
Mm-hmm.
And when I pretend it isn't there and spend it on myself, I'm just scared of what's going to happen at the end of my life when I get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Corona commercial, you know, the two beach chairs there, mm-hmm. you know, people are just sitting there. It's like, this is the goal. The goal is to get to that beach. Yeah, for a minute. And then what are we going to do, right? Nobody's living on that beach. Yep. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, let's go out there and sit there. And, oh, I'm so relaxed. Now what? Yep. I'm bored. Now I feel useless, you know. And so you're like, yeah, that's our lives perpetuate purpose through to the grave. And that momentum, I think marriage helps sustain that.
Yeah.
You know, I think in a family helps build that momentum because there's a level of sacrifice that you did not know existed until you involve yourself in a family.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it a second ago about just selfishness. And I think a lot of the problems that people have in their relationships are they've been, you know, you grow up being told that you can have everything and you can, it's all about you. And you bring that into a relationship or you bring that in, especially into a marriage or children. And then you're still trying to be selfish while you're married. Like that's mm-hmm. when everything starts to fall apart is this, I've been trained to only care about myself, you know, number one, that's me, I take care, you know, and so you get into these relationships and they're just, you're bumping into each other because you don't know how to make a decision that's for the whole. It's just me first and then everything else. And if you do that for years, you just, mm-hmm. you got a big, big problem, you know, so... I think selfishness is one of the things to just be aware of from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you're running into when you're talking about, you know, especially the early years or whatever. You got to figure it out. Yeah. And the way to figure it out is it's not all about you.
Yeah, and we're living in an era that is, it's been just saturated with comfort and options mm-hmm. and technology, and you have so many things that you can do to stay focused on yourself.
Yeah,
it you know, it's like when you are raised in, you know, the Depression or World War II or, you know, some economic, not like we think an economic crisis is when
the toilet paper's gone.
Well, when, you know,
current situation.
We have a real estate decline, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. no, there's no food. That's mm-hmm. that's a crisis. You know, you're eating rats. You're that's a crisis. We've never, you know, we have no idea what that's like.
Yeah.
So until you get stripped back down to that, then you start thinking about the priorities of survival. And the farther you get from the priorities of survival, the more you begin to think like hamburger comes from a store. You know, like that's where they make it at a store. Like, okay, yeah, it's true. I mean, there's a grinder in the back there, but that's not where the meat came from, girl. Yeah. You know, that's just not happening. You know, well, food comes from a store. Like, no, actually it doesn't. No. So, you know, the farther we get from that awareness of survival, the more we get deluded with how life works. Yeah. And this is where this is starting to undermine marriage, is this is hard. Mm-hmm. I don't do anything that's hard. Like, well, you're about to if you keep thinking like that.
So with that concept of like your meat and where food comes from analogy.
Store.
What about the, I feel like this, the generation, millennials and Gen Z, that's, you know, the up and coming ones to be married. There's a lot of this hookup culture where I'm committed to you. Mm-hmm. I want to have a covenant with you. So we'll pretend we're married, but without the covenant. So we live together. We maybe even blend our bank accounts together. And we're Christians, but that's how we've kind of said in our hearts we have a covenant, but it's a piece of paper means nothing. So how do we, because this feels like the food comes from the store analogy, but this is another thing that's been happening, you know, as we do define the relationship courses with younger and younger people. Mm-hmm. This seems to be more and more okay, that's the mindset. Because I'm in my heart, I'm committed to you like I am Jesus. That's almost that what they say. Mm-hmm. So how do you confront that or speak truth, biblical truth into that, given the analogy you just gave? Like, what is the truth to that? Because I think that's what's going on, and people just don't think they have to get married because they're living it as a covenant.
I think there's lots of weddings and not nearly the same number of covenants. Mm-hmm. You know, so because you had a wedding and you had, you know, cake and went to the store, you know, it doesn't make it a covenant.
Yeah.
A covenant is really demonstrated on the other side of death. Like, a covenant is an agreement that requires death. It's like forgiveness. You know, forgiveness requires death. So in that context, you're about to find out if you have made a covenant. Mm-hmm. Because you were willing to die to protect this. Not kill somebody, but die
yourself.
Somebody has to die.
Yeah.
You.
Right. And that process is what separates out Christ-likeness from everybody else. Mm-hmm. Everybody else can talk the talk, whatever, you know, but if you're not willing to lay your life down to protect love, mm-hmm. to protect a commitment, then you are just like everybody else. You're not like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that a lot of time in that hookup culture, their covenant that they put on display is really what I'm trying to say so I can sleep with you? If we're not actually...
Well, it's usually what it leads to, you know, especially with no piece of paper. You know, it's just a piece of paper. It's just a piece of paper that cuts your assets in half if you walk away. How's that? You know, because you don't have... Yeah. Generally, people don't have the character to protect the covenant, so you have to have rules. Mm-hmm. You have to have the threat of punishment, the looming threat of punishment to keep you in the struggle.
Mm. There's a lot of, you know, we're going to stay together while it's good.
Yeah.
You know, that's their covenant. I'm going to, as long as this is fun, as long as this is working for me and, you know, working for you or whatever, as long as it's good and cool and we're having fun. But as soon as that's over, then it's okay. We're just, you know, we'll take this life that we created and tried to act like we were married. You know, mm-hmm. we're saying this is like a marriage, but as soon as it's not fun anymore, it's parting ways. And sometimes there's children and all kinds of, you know, assets that you're splitting up, you know, and it just breaks down over and over and over and gets harder and harder on all the people that are affected.
And there's a, you know, there's a whole set of things that, that work their way into this, like abuses, you and name them. I mean, they just kind of go, you just kind of go down the list of, okay, you're scary. Nut! I will be getting away from you. Okay, there is there's a whole pile of that. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about. I don't want to struggle.
Yeah,
I don't want to. I don't want to work this hard.
Right.
I you know, life is promising me way more ease and comfort than this is. So I'll be, you know, punching my card here and moving on. Like that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I was going to add, I just hearing all these conversations, I think sitting underneath that it is also this fear and pain for people. Like I think listening to people in mine and Brittany's generation, and it's probably common everywhere throughout the generations, but this the selfishness can often even feel like this fear or avoidance of pain. And so thinking I'll just take care of myself, and the pain that might come with covenant or commitment and that breaking up, I'll just stay here where it feels safe. Really, I'm not avoiding any pain. I'm just, there's pain coming my way, you know, because staying in comfort actually isn't the avoidance of pain and solving some fear. It's an illusion, but.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, I'm not going to go to the gym so that I don't have any pain.
Yeah.
You're like, well, it doesn't work like that, you know, because here's what's coming your way. Exactly. It's pain. Yeah. And limitation and weakness.
Is it at the grocery store?
Yeah, well, I'm just on another analogy. Oh, here I go. We're at the gym now. Come on, catch up.
Sorry.
That's close to the store. Yeah.
So I think that, yeah, the family life is living at the gym.
Yeah.
Which makes a whole bunch of strong lovers, because when you nail the family covenant dynamic, you really have a capacity to love.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds crazy, but you got to have a baby. I mean, you just got to have a baby in your house. You just got to do it, because those things.
Not a puppy.
Those things are.
Puppies maybe are level one.
Yeah. Babies are like. Are you kidding me? Sacrificial. You know, they will take you to a place in your life that you did not know was there. You didn't want it. You didn't want it to be there.
I don't want to go to that gym.
Yeah.
That's a boot camp. That's what babies are.
Yeah. And you know, working out a relationship with another adult is easy compared to babies
because they can talk.
Yeah, they are just brutal, those things.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I think you know, the your season of marriage, you've 39 years, that's how long you guys have been married, just celebrated that. Ben and I are nearly at 20, and you know, I was just kind of looking back at the early years of your marriage, early years of our marriage, and it does feel like, I mean, maybe everyone has different seasons, but like the first 5 years, if not longer, feel like that's the moment where you're trying to figure out, can I die to myself? And if you can't figure it out in that, it just kind of lingers, and that's where the heart continues to keep growing and growing and growing. And like you said, that you want to stay in it as long as it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, we've never thrown out the divorce word in fights or anything like that, because it feels like it's like level 10 disrespect to what we said we're trying to do. And I wonder, you know, I don't know. I don't actually know if you guys ever threw that word out or not. Don't remember that story, but because I know you had some hard, I know you had longer than 5 years hard too. But that's another thing that I looking at marriage, like what is the disrespect level that you feel like people are willing to participate in or like almost create a culture of. Like that's one of the big dysfunctions I see that shows up that we work with is they have said yes to disrespect in their marriage. And then all of a sudden it just grows and grows and grows until you're throwing out level 10 disrespect all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That divorce card.
I think we grew up in homes where the respect level was just, you know, there was no respect between our, like my mom and dad. I don't remember my mom and my, you know, my birth dad never lived with him really in the family. But my mom and my stepdad, it was just every night was disrespect and the divorce card was thrown out there all the time. And that was my example. Like, I think that's one of the things that you have to overcome is the example you had and how that plays out in your life. And we could talk about that more when we, it's just Danny and I, but it's legit. Like that's, if that's your normal, you have to change it.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, in our language, that's where the Kylo 5 really comes from, is deciding not to live in disrespect land. Mm-hmm. Like some people just set up shop there.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa, today was the least disrespectful day we've had in a long time. You know, we need to up our game here. And you're like, no, move out of that neighborhood. Get out of there. And so when we talk about the Kylo 5, it's really about how are we going to, how am I going to direct myself towards an experience that I want to live in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
And this is the dying to yourself. Mm-hmm. I think humbling myself, it requires me to
manage me
really well and shut down these things that want to take over for our benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have Kylo University that is new to our world and we're really excited. If you're curious about it, KyloUniversity.com is where you're going to go. But my favorite testimonies that come out of that are the people that came hoping that they were going to get better at, you know, the stuff, probably to use it on their spouse.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm sure if we were to interview them beforehand 100%. And ask them this question and then after, they probably would confess to that. But we had a testimony that came through and, you know, her marriage has been rocked because I think this disrespect piece, she didn't realize the level of disrespect that she was participating in and contributing to in her marriage. And through going through Kylo University, changing her behaviors, changing her belief systems, getting new tools, all of a sudden they have elevated their marriage to where they don't live in disrespect land anymore. And it's what I see, and Ben and I are really passionate about, I know we all are, but, you know, the culture of your marriage is so much the flow of the culture of your home dynamic with your kids.
Yes.
And we're saying that really loud in different ways because parenting is kind of our jam right now. But it so starts in your marriage. So it's really fun to see our Kylo University students win in their marriage and know that it's changing the legacy of their family.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a decision. It's a commitment. Yeah, but it's that very much that I'm going to take everything that I've learned so far and concentrate it into a laser beam of effectiveness.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm going to be as effective as a lover as I've ever been up until now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So fun. All right. Well, we're going to jump into some questions. And so stay tuned. We'll be back. All right, well, we're going to jump into questions, and our first one comes to us from Joy.
Hey, my name's Joy. I am curious to hear from both Danny and Brittany. Specifically, I've heard Brittany talk a little bit about how early in marriage it was really challenging for Ben to keep his needs on the table. And I'm recently married and we're navigating some of those challenges as well. Me being really confrontational and my husband being very passive. So I'm curious, Brittany, how you met Ben in that, as well as how Ben learned to grow and keep his needs on the table. And I know, Danny, that you have navigated some similar things in your marriage. So curious to hear your perspective on that, too.
Sherry's always had a hard time getting her needs out on the table. So,
we're not supposed to lie on the podcast, Dad.
You read that wrong. And Joy, Sherry and I came for you today.
So I am here to tell you.
Lucky for you, Joy, I brought my husband so he can answer these questions.
Yeah. He's sitting right here. He can hear you.
That's I can hear you, Joy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got the joy come down on in my heart. All right, go.
Yeah. Well, I think hopefully your husband's listening too, because he's part of the equation. There's probably lots of moments that really led up to me showing up in more of my ways. The two that stand out, the first one started with Danny and Sherry talking to us before we were deciding to break up. We mm-hmm. did break up. We're married now 20 years, so that didn't happen. But the question was, Ben, what do you need? So that first question was, I had permission to have a need. That had to get solved first for me, because I'd never had permission. The second thing was, me learning to keep my needs on the table means that my need doesn't have to look like Brittany's. And I think there was this idea in my head that it had to look as loud, as exciting, as demanding, as
loud,
as polished.
Sorry, as perfected.
Yeah.
If you were Aaron.
And there's that.
What did you hear me say? That's a good question to ask. I think my needs have never looked like Brittany's and never will. But learning that just is important. And that took some time and some confidence building for me. And then realizing, you know, when Brittany shows three needs and I have one, my one need's going to stay on the table, because it hasn't gone away just because you had more than I do, mm-hmm. or because yours looks shinier or more urgent. This need's still here, because you're unaware of how to actually communicate to that target and hit it if I don't tell you. Mm-hmm. So me learning to say, hey, this need's still here. This is what I need. And when you hit that, it communicates a thing that I think is in your heart to communicate. So I'm not sure that fully answers the question, that's my journey and part of it.
Yeah, and probably the dynamic here with Joy and her husband is going to be, if he's not putting his needs on the table, then she has to say, show me your needs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't know, like, nope, wrong answer. You know, go learn how to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I need more than, it's over here somewhere in the east. Like, no, I need it.
Is it the store?
Yeah. I need a shiny object to hit. You know, let me see the target. Let me see that you need to feel affirmed. Let me see that you need to feel respected. Yeah. Let me see that you need to feel desired by me. You know, let me see it. Like, okay, that's just fear is what it is. It's mm-hmm. not necessarily ignorance. Mm-hmm. It's cloaked in ignorance, but it's ignorant because I'm afraid to explore it. I'm afraid to be seen.
Mm-hmm. I would say, Joy, if you're more aggressive like I was, when Ben did put the need on the table and I had three that felt really urgent, I would say that's nice, but and I would just almost keep demanding that mine be met first, and then Ben would pull his away because I was just persistent in that this was the correct thing and you should meet mine first. So, you know, that there was a couple of things that came to factors that Ben got more and more brave and that he wasn't cowering from his need, which I was like, okay, I guess if you're not going anywhere, then I'll meet this. But
I guess if it matters to you. Yeah,
I mean, that was honestly the first part of my attitude, like, okay, fine. Then it changed to respect. Mm-hmm. But at first it was, you know, eye rolling, okay, whatever. And justifying my behavior. But then it became respect because Ben showed up. He kept showing up. And he showed up in other ways in our relationship that I needed him to show up in and that I was scared. So I think your part is managing yourself and making sure that you're actually creating a safe space for your husband to have a need. And if you're not, you know, what do you need to adjust? And maybe that's a question. Do you feel safe to share your needs with me? And if he says, I don't know, then that probably means no. That's what I would take as that.
And it's both of you adjusting your communication style because, mm-hmm. you know, you're comfortable with, aggressive, which is my needs matter, yours don't. Mm-hmm. And he's comfortable with a passive, my needs don't matter, your needs matter. We're both trying to get to my needs matter and so do yours.
Yeah.
And it's a journey for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just brings up the fact that we're on a journey in our life. And these things that we, you know, these personality traits or wounds or things that, how are we reacting out of a life experience that we've had that maybe was hard or we're trying to save our own life. All the things that come up when you are, you know, across the table from another human you love and you're trying to communicate and it doesn't go well, you have to just keep practicing. It doesn't mm-hmm. just happen. And there's lots of things that are rolling into it. I used to, just a short way of describing us in those days was I needed to learn how to shut up, and Danny had to learn how to show up mm-hmm. Because our personality types and our, you know, save your own life modes were I was aggressive. I don't know where you got that trait
exactly.
But I would lean in and just run over him, and he would just disappear. And so he disappeared because the system was I scared him, you know, and he just went away. And then when he, you know, and the farther he went, the more aggressive I got. You know, I was like, I grew up in a home where you better take care of yourself. So this is me taking care of myself, more and more aggression. And maybe that's not, in this case, maybe Joy's not living like I was living. But there's still that underlying thing where you have to ask a question and then wait for the answer. Mm-hmm. You have to wait and show value and, you know, get some duct tape out or whatever. Just don't say anything. Just let them talk and then engage in what they said and what they need as, you know, a kind person. And so that thing where you said, Brittany, where you start to respect them more, where I, you know, I didn't, we were just figuring this out, Danny and I. And so I needed him to show up before I would really listen because I always felt like it was up to me. It's up to me because he's not engaged. And as soon as he started being more and more engaged without anger or punishment and all those things, it's like, oh my gosh, I want more of that. Mm-hmm. And you just changed the dynamic. It took years for us to figure it out. It doesn't have to take years.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to. He has to show up, but you have to be a safe person.
I just last thing to add, I think the way that showed up for us mm-hmm. is Brittany would say, your confidence is sexy.
Once you got it.
Once I got it. Which just
it's true.
Just alludes to the point Sherry's making, which is Brittany felt safer and actually was more attracted to me mm-hmm. when I was willing to learn the skills needed to show up with my needs and keep on the table. So
this is what Ephesians talks about. Mm-hmm. You know, that husbands love your wife like Christ loved the church. Be my covering. Be a safe place. Be something that I can rest in. And then I will submit my life to you. I will serve you. I will respect you. I will love you. That's the beauty of how this is supposed to work. But if you won't be that covering, then I'm afraid to give you everything. Yeah. So I will do it myself. And that's how we make
this. If you won't fight for yourself, you're definitely not going to fight for me.
Exactly.
So I'm still scared. Yeah. I'm out here exposed, having to fight off and protect and provide. I'm having to do your job out here. So, I'm not sure what there is to respect over there. But as soon as you take over your job, maybe we'll talk about me not doing your job.
Yeah. Yep. Great question, Joy. Yep. Hopefully it's helpful. It's fun that you got to have everybody here, not just my dad and I. We have another question that came through Instagram. So if you have questions for the Kylo Show, you can DM my dad or me, or you can do it to all these guys if you want, but they may not be on the show as much. So how you do this is at Brittany Serple. Make sure you spell my name right. I don't have an A, just so you know. And then Danny Silk. That's how you would find us. And you can DM us and ask us, say, this is for the Kylo Show. That way we know and we'll get it to the right people so we can have it here.
It's funny, in the show notes, your name's spelled wrong.
That's not
true. It is. Sir Prowl.
Oh, that's Sepral. On my last name. Yes.
Sepral.
That's
yeah. Listed. Spell the last name right too. That'll help.
Yeah. You do have to spell both of them.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, the whole thing.
It's our gala does. I don't know what happened there, but usually I'm tagged in just about everything. Yeah. So I didn't know that Brittany Serple was so hard to spell, but apparently it is. It's all right. So do you want to ask the question that they asked us on Instagram? It's right there. No. Okay. I'll do it. Gabriella asked us, what is your favorite thing about marriage? So I think that's open for anybody.
Mm-hmm. We'll start with the seasoned married people.
The sex. It's been a favorite of mine the whole time.
I was going to say, has that changed? Thanks. I wasn't like sweating.
No. Blushing.
No. So I'd rather get, you haven't said naked yet. I said
there
naked.
You go again.
Okay.
You too. This is a G-rated podcast. We're going to get flagged.
There's children in the car.
I was going to say fun. Like
that's what I said.
They have three letter words.
They're taking our answers, Brittany.
Over time, you get to know someone so well, and you know their every move, their face expressions. You know when you know they make you laugh. They just fun, having fun.
The oneness is starting to happen.
They're laughing a bit.
I'm like, trying to recover still.
Ben's giggling. Have you never heard the word sex before?
No,
do you know how it works, honey?
When she said fun, and he said, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good now.
I think the thing I'm enjoying currently the most is the oneness that is starting to be more and more evident. You know, yeah. I don't know at what point we start looking like each other.
I'm not growing a beard. I refuse.
I'm not growing a beard.
But it's just so easy mm-hmm. to know, mm. you know, to there's just a clearer and clearer path in front of you for connection, for joy, for synergy. The path's getting clearer. As to how to live there. Yeah. For a long time, that path was a forest fire. It was like, where? I can't even find where. What are we doing?
Field.
This is so, where are you? Like, you know, are you trying to hurt me or is this fire trying to hurt me? I can't remember. Yeah. There was so much of that that is now, it just feels like we're in the same boat on a stream.
Every now and then,
having a picnic, out. You know.
Every having once in a while, I yeah. get.
Beautiful.
Clear. Thank you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Do you want to answer?
I mean, the sex and the fun—that's all up there too. But to use a different answer, I think I was sitting there thinking about the when you choose someone to be chosen at that same level is pretty spectacular. I think just to be chosen that I'm in this and so are you at this level that just I think it's the expression and experience of covenant at deep level. So thanks for choosing me. It's my favorite parts.
One of them. I think the being able to be someone that you so enjoy that it's I feel like anytime that there is a disagreement or tension or a fight, it doesn't last very long because we're so quickly trying to get back to the place which we love to be mm-hmm. majority of the time, which is enjoying each other. So, you know, that piece of I come home and it's like this safe space to just decompress, to I can go be my crazy, obnoxious version of Brittany and there's no judgment to it. If I need a little of a guardrail, you'll put it up there, and then I go, okay, thank you for that. It was unnecessary. I was going that far, it's just like there's this understanding and grace and peace, and so the fact that that's where we live 99% of the time is great. It doesn't mean that we don't have scary things or hard mm-hmm. things. You know, our children are. What are you doing? What are you doing? Can I put a guardrail over there? No. Okay. Oh, okay. You know, sometimes you can, but we're about to do adult parenting, which is probably the scariest thing that we've ever done with our children.
I'll tell you what.
Thanks for that encouragement.
But you're in our prayers. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, this morning you thought it was really funny.
I did. It's fun to watch.
But it is, I think that's the part where I love that we, I guess going back to choosing, is that we have chosen to stay at this place that we get to enjoy each other. Like, yeah. That's what we fight really hard for, because it's the most fun. It's the best place to stay. Because the living in tension and living frustrated, you know, we did that first season. Thankfully, it wasn't very long. But I love being your friend. I think that part's, yep. That makes the sex and all the other things great, because...
Hashtag bestie.
Hashtag bestie. You and me, babe.
That was weird. Good.
All right. That was that question. The next question comes to us from Mary.
My husband and I have been studying Keep Your Love On now for about a year. We've been separated for a while. We're a little bit stuck on understanding the difference between having boundaries and being controlling. Could you address that, please? Thank you.
Well, it has a lot to do with who you're controlling with your boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm saying things like, you are scary, you are mean, you are... So I'm going to, instead of saying, I feel scared, I feel hurt, mm-hmm. and so I'm going to... Then I'm just giving you good information instead of putting you in a judgment prison that you have to serve a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. And then we'll review your case at the parole hearing, and you'll probably never get out of that.
Yeah, it's a lot to do with your heart. That's what I think about is... how's my heart towards this person? Is it hopeful with restoration, or is it, I don't actually ever want you close to it again because mm-hmm. you're too scary? I think that motivates a lot of the who I'm controlling. Mm-hmm. And so.
Yeah, there's, we had some friends one time that she would never drive with him. Everywhere they went, they're in separate cars. And we were like, what are you doing? And he scared her all the time with his driving. And she finally just said, I love you and I love my own car.
I'll meet you there.
I'll meet you there. And mm-hmm. and she wasn't going to budge on that. There are times for boundaries is what I'm saying. And then there's times to assess why and figure out why that's such a hard line. But mm-hmm. they are necessary.
Just the last thing to add is I think the question that's helped me so many in so many ways, and so many other couples we've talked to, is what's the goal? And so I think just reassessing, you know, even this new season you might be in, or as you're looking down the road, what's the current goal, and how are the boundaries serving that goal? With the restoration in mind, with hope and all that kind of stuff, what's the goal? So.
And the goal has to be reconciliation, you mm-hmm. know. So a boundary communicates that. So I feel hurt, I feel scared, I'm going to be over there, is an opportunity for you to then address the hurt and the scared. Yeah. But to say, you are this and you are that, there's nothing you can do to change my opinion of you.
Yeah.
There's only things you can do to change my experience with you. So as long as it's, you know, it's set out there with hope of reconciliation, then it's not rejection. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people throw rejection out there. My goal with you is distance, meaning I have zero desire to reconcile with you. That's not a boundary. And I think people get that confused, where if you walk away hopeless, we get lots of calls around adult children with their parents. Mm-hmm. And a boundary is really punishment for a lifetime of injury in the relationship. Yeah. And so now you don't get to see your grandchildren. Now you don't get to come around. Now you don't get to be part of our family. And that's a boundary. No, you've rejected your mother. You've rejected your father. That's what that is. Mm-hmm. So do what you're going to do, but don't call it a boundary.
Yeah.
It's rejection.
That is true. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, these were great questions, and I think it was fun.
We got some cool stuff coming
like
up.
To recap, meat comes from
the store,
not just the store. Yeah. And sex is fun, and marriage is absolutely worth any ounce of fight you've got for it.
Come on,
yeah, it's good. So, but fun conversations. We're going to have some fun conversations in different ways, and it should be pretty entertaining for you. So please keep joining us for this marriage series. And thank you for fighting for whole healthy families, because we believe they're going to save the world. And we'll see you next time on The Kylo Show.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.